Welcome to Catalyzing Through Collaboration. First of all, thank you for not leaving early to get to the airport. I know when we get to this part in the conference, it's like, I am dragging ass. But I have decided, since this is the end of the breakout sessions, that I am the finale of the show, and I'm going to do my best to bring the razzle-dazzle. So thank you. Catalyzing Through Collaboration, what the heck am I talking about here? So what I'm going to share with you are some of the activities that we've done at Whirlpool that add value to our employees' lives, that are low-cost, high-impact, most importantly, attainable and repeatable, maybe not on the same scale or in the exact same way, but I wanted to give you some ideas that you could maybe take away and use back with your organizations. But most importantly, focusing on collaboration across a lot of initiatives. So to set the stage a little more, if you haven't heard of us, Whirlpool Corporation, we are a small family-owned business in Southwest Michigan with a global footprint of 69,000 employees, $22 billion in sales last year, and an amazing family of brands. So we get a lot of great material to work with. Who has a KitchenAid stand mixer? That's right, my people. Did you know that those are made in Greenville, Ohio? Yeah, how amazing is that? So we have the Whirlpool brand, KitchenAid brand, Maytag, you know, some of those that you've likely heard of, but some others maybe that you haven't. So Swash is a laundry detergent that we launched in the last couple of years, as well as Yumly, which is a recipe discovery app. So a lot of cool things happening at Whirlpool. And I loved in the keynote yesterday talking about purpose, because I think we've really tried to connect our employees with our vision of improving life at home. And that's, you know, never been more important than since COVID and all the time that we've spent in our homes. Kind of funny enough, we did a big kickoff event in 2020, and our theme was Our Home 2020. Like, how on the nose was that? Because this was January. We didn't know. But anywho, I digress. Me, I am Emily Kirshner. I've been at Whirlpool Corporation for 9 years, always with the corporate communications team. Prior to that, I was with United Way. Somewhat unique from my employee experience is that I am born and raised in Southwest Michigan. You know, as a global company, we pull in talent from all over the world. And so the population of us that are really homegrown is pretty small. I'm married. That looker there is my husband, Eric, and my two sweet babies, Vivian and Sammy. I'm super active in the community. I'm on the board with Rotary. Any Rotarians in the room? Woo. All right. I'm also on the symphony board, and I tend to get roped into planning a lot of galas. So I got a party tomorrow night. There's going to be a flash mob. It's going to be amazing. My hobbies include aerial yoga. Yes, I have an aerial yoga swing in my living room. Nice. Okay, that one gets a shout out. Love bird watching, laying in my pool. But in a former life, I was Miss Emily. I was the choreographer of theatrical productions for children. And so that picture is me on stage. I'm the little person all the way in the corner. We did a production of Les Miserables. So a lot of that theater background is something that I tend to bring to activities at Whirlpool Corporation. You know, so again, here are the things that I wanted to tell you about. But it all starts with that employee experience. And nothing that I'm going to share is rocket science. It's just how my brain thinks through some of these activities. I do want to share that we've been a First Up customer, I think, since 2016. Manish, what up? So we're pretty far along on our journey. And really, the things that I'm going to talk about aren't necessarily in-app, but there's often an in-app component to it. But experience is foundational. And this is a graphic that I often have in mind. Has anybody seen this before? No. And really, this is about the majority of our life is made up of experiences. And it's not a one and done. For the same reason that I am not skinny after eating a salad. It doesn't matter what I do one time. It's the little things that we do every day. So as we're thinking about these campaigns, it's not necessarily the big wham-bam. It's those constant touch points, because it's those experiences that shape an employee's beliefs, and their beliefs are going to lead to the actions they take, and those actions are what end up with results, so you really have to start at the bottom there. And there's another graphic that I tend to use a lot, and actually this one and the last one come from our continuous improvement team, but they've really stuck in my head as I'm thinking of things. And this benefit effort grid is really just a four-quadrant matrix of How hard is this to achieve, and what impact is it going to have? So on the far side, you know, if it is high impact and high effort, that's a project. That's, you know, bringing a lot of people together to achieve this thing, and it's probably worth doing because there's a high impact. But if it's high effort but low benefit, like, we should just quit talking about this because there's no point. And my favorite quadrant is the just do it quadrant. Like, it's going to make a big impact, and it's not a lot of work to do. Low-hanging fruit, if you will. So those two things are just models that stick in my head as I'm thinking through activities. And if we think of the world right now, I think if 2022 had a catchphrase, it is, we need to do more with less. Is that ringing bells? Is that feeling familiar? Is everybody or anybody in here like, I'm so over-resourced, I'm great, I'm good? No? And I think as communicators, everybody feels like their project and their thing is the most important thing. And when everybody's shouting at the same time, you have all of this noise, and then nothing is important. So, you know, in that environment, so budgets are slashed, employees are stretched thin, priorities are competing for airtime, what do you do? And if you recognize that this is not from the Ice Ice Baby video, but it is in fact from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle live action movie, you have just dated yourself! But in all honesty, my favorite part of coming to a conference is hearing what other people are doing. And so without further ado, I would like to show you some of my projects. And thank you. I love a good woohoo. I think as the description mentioned, we do have a little collaboration with Disney, and the Whirlpool brand was able to market some products with Encanto recently. I realize that that is not the reality for a lot of organizations, but I think this model of how we do some employee engagements is really replicable. And we've done it in a lot of different ways as well. So I'm going to play a video with no audio. There is audio in the video, but I'm going to keep talking over it. So I'm just going to let this play in the background, because this is also the story about how Emily learned Canva this year. I know, it's amazing. So what did we do with this promotion? So we have this collaboration with Disney and Encanto. We want our employees to know about that. We also, with our Yumly, our recipe discovery app, had a whole bunch of content around cooking in Colombian recipes. So we encouraged our employees to take a recipe from Yumly, cook it with your family, share a picture to Whirlpool 360, which is our first up app. By doing so, they've entered themselves into a contest where we are going to give them, we've got some runners up that are going to win swag, and a grand prize winner who's going to win tickets to Disney World. And so, but this model of do a thing, post it to the app, you're either then in a drawing or we'll do a competition based on votes is a model that we've done pretty often. So another example, we had a collaboration with our KitchenAid brand and Reese Witherspoon's book club. And there were some recipes inspired by those books that were part of the book club. And same thing, cook the recipe, post to Whirlpool 360, share your experience. I will give one caution. Our most recent activation that followed this model was around our Maytag Pet Pro system. So this is a new laundry pair that we've just launched, and the washing machine actually has a lint filter. So it gets out the pet hair. Between the washer and dryer, it gets out 5 times more pet hair than the normal. You're shaking your head. You're like, girl, I know. You need that. It's exclusive at Lowe's or Maytag.com. Also, friends and family discounts, connect with me. Let me know after. I'm happy to hook you up. So with that one, we did a contest of submit your pet, a picture of your pet for, we had best hairdo, most photogenic, you know, some of these superlative awards. We had over 500 submissions. Like, all of our news was gone because it was people's pets. Which proved our consumer insight that people are passionate about their pets. But we did also have employees who were like commenting in other articles about go vote for my pet, and it got a little out of hand. So just a little word of caution. You know, some of those competitions do get a little spicy. But those are really great. As a global company and as somebody who has 9 manufacturing plants across the U.S., those activations through Whirlpool 360 are a great way to have a consistent experience for both our corporate employees as well as our plant employees. So just to kind of recap on this project, you know, what were our goals? What were our targets and what were our outcomes? And I would actually say I don't think this one was one that we blew out of the water because it was right over the holiday season. But really what I want you to take away is this model of do a thing, post it to the app, you're in a contest. And so that video was how we recapped everyone who participated and announced our winners. So I'll pause just really quickly before jumping into the next one and ask yourself, is this something that adds value? Is this repeatable? Does it inspire any ideas for your organization? And real quick, do you have any questions just on this one? I will allow questions at the end. If I needed a beat. Yes. Well, this was the first time we'd had experienced that issue. So my takeaway is that next time when we have a promotion that we'll be more explicit in that, please don't do that. We did delete some comments, things like that, but it was even like pinging and emailing and other outreach. So I think we just need to be more explicit on our rules on the front end. Again, you know, we hadn't experienced that with any of our others, so it was not an issue until it is an issue, and now we know it's an issue, so we'll do things differently. But yeah, Maytag, man, they've been great over the years with consistently engaging employees. And each May, we celebrate May as Maytag Month. And so now that we've come back in the office, we're also looking at how do we bring back those in-person activations while still having some of those digital activations so that other employees can participate. So May is Maytag Month this year was a nice mix of both things. So for the Twin Cities, disclaimer, we're in St. Joe, Benton Harbor, Michigan. We call it internally the Twin Cities. We know it. They are not the Twin Cities. Nobody in St. Joe, Benton Harbor calls it the Twin Cities. It is very specifically a Whirlpool thing. Just sorry for that. But for our Twin Cities employees, we had a traveling Maytag booth. They went to different locations. We've got like 6 or 7 buildings in this Twin Cities area, where they had information, they had giveaways, some tchotchkes, we have Maytag Man stands, so we had some building activation activity. So there was an in-person component there, but then the broader digital engagement, we did Maytag Mondays. So each Monday, we had a post on Whirlpool 360, and it was asking employees to do something. It was watch these promotional spots and let us know which one is your favorite or why. Or read these 4 articles on our info hub on our website and tell us what something new that you learned about taking care of your appliances. And then we were able to pull a report from Whirlpool 360 of who commented, and that was your entry into the contest. And again, we gave away some swag bags, and then we had a big grand prize with a laundry pair. Give me your information. I'm going to send some. But this year we did something a little bit extra because, you know, we're back in the office and I don't know who's experienced this. Everybody's just at their computer, but now I'm not happy because I'm not wearing my comfy pants and I had to do my hair this morning. And so we really wanted to get people up and moving. So our Riverview building is our North American headquarters. And within this building, we did something a little crazy. Again, Emily learned Canva this year. We called it an epic game of Maytag Tag. So for those of you who are younger than me, apparently Assassins, is anybody familiar with this? All of the young people in the room were familiar with this, and I was like, okay. It's something I think that is played often at college campuses where, you know, people opt in, they sign up, they're like, I want to play this game. You're given your target, and usually in the college setting, you're squirting them with a water gun or something like that. In our appropriate corporate version, you have to tag them with a Maytag sticky note. And then we also asked them to learn 3 things about each other. So we were driving connection, you know, across the organization. And these are just some pictures and a recap story again, Emily learned Canva, of how the game went. But it took about 3 weeks and it was so much fun. I expected this to be a big stinker. And people loved it. They were jealous in other buildings that they weren't allowed to play. There were people who met others who had career aspirations, that they were in a career that this person was interested in pursuing, so made those professional connections. We had people meet each other that, you know, grew up in the same neighborhood in Chicago and would have never met each other otherwise. And it just kind of brought some fun to the building. It was funny, there were some comments around, like, when you saw somebody who you didn't usually see in your wing, that you were then suspicious and on guard. So I think it was a fun activity, and it cost us nothing. We already had the sticky notes. I think we gave the winner a $100 prize. So just really fun and silly and unexpected. Yeah, he's really telling a story here, sorry. And the Maytag Man gifts just keep on giving. So those are on Giphy if you're ever needing a Maytag Man gift for your presentation, those open platform. So again, looking through our goals, targets, outcomes, I think my favorite, I'll let you peruse this, but I think my favorite was that 100% of the participants who filled out the survey rated the experience as good or very good, and we're looking forward to doing it again next year. So again, I'll take a beat. Does this add value? Is this repeatable? Does it inspire you? And any questions? For the May is Maytag Month, they were able to participate in the Maytag Mondays. So that was the post to Whirlpool 360, our first up platform. So they were able to participate in that part of the contest. So it was a little something for everybody. I think there's Amy.
So your ideas are just really creative, and this might be a really hard question to answer, but how do you come up with that? Like, do you have brainstorming sessions with teams, or?
It just happens. I don't know if I have a really good answer to that one. I think I have a very non-traditional background. And again, thinking about employee experience. You know, if the only things in your toolbox are words that I'm going to throw at you, I might throw them from email, I might throw them from an app, I might throw them in a town hall, but I'm still throwing words at you. Like, is that a good time? It's not part of this presentation, but for another one, I have also built an escape room. We did that as an activation. But on to the next project. So this one is a little easier. So we have, in our return to office, we have an engagement team for our Riverview building, our North American headquarters. And in Southwest Michigan, where our headquarters are located in our Twin Cities, we have an abundance of diverse agriculture. Like, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a farm stand. Like, there's seven of them on the way home from work. So we're just so blessed. And it's not just, you know, cornfields as far as the eye can see. Sorry, Jaime, I keep smacking my mic. I get animated. We've got orchards and blueberries and strawberries, and it's just an amazing experience. So farmers markets are super common in our area. So we asked ourselves, you know, can we do this in our building? And, you know, sent out a call to some vendors to see if people would sign up for this, and had about a dozen people. We set them up in our kind of our auditorium space, and we have an atrium space, and, you know, just let them do business. And it was great. Employees loved it. And it was just super low-hanging fruit. It cost us really nothing to activate. But as we're thinking about our Riverview engagement team, like, yes, we can host a happy hour. We really had to connect around, like, what is actually our purpose? And we solidified that through doing engagement activities that connect us to the community, our colleagues, our brands, or our business initiatives. So with this one in particular, because we were bringing in, you know, fresh fruit and vegetables, we partnered with our health coaches to be sharing some healthy recipes from Yumly. We had our KitchenAid team on site demonstrating some of the attachments on the stand mixer. So really finding those points of connection outside of just, let's do some engagement. So again, with this one, is this something that adds value? Is this repeatable in your organization? Does it inspire any similar ideas or any specific questions on this one? Yes, actually this just started. We did our first in July just as a pilot to see, like, is this worth anybody's time? And it was very popular, so we then made it monthly through the end, through October. That's pretty much our growing season. So my goal for next year is to say, like, we're going to do this April through October. It's going to be the second Tuesday of the month so that everybody just knows that it happens. So, yeah, and again, the only cost that I have in that event is that I pay somebody to rearrange tables and open up the rooms, which is very minimal, and then I provide lunch for the vendors because I have them working over the lunch hour. And for these folks, they're used to working events where they're outside and they're hauling their tent and they're hauling their tables. So for them, this is great. It's inside. There's Wi-Fi. There's a bathroom. She gave me lunch. So it's great exposure for these small businesses. And, you know, something I think I kind of brushed over here, it was kind of a happy accident. We had such diversity in our suppliers. We had several Black-owned businesses. We have a trans-owned business that participate, a lot of women-owned business, a veteran-owned business. So really helping our supplier diversity initiatives as well, kind of accidentally. So that was a great connection there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're stealing my thunder a little bit. I got a sexy table at the end on kind of how I think about it. But yes, I think all of these, it's not I'm doing this one thing for this one reason. It's I'm doing this thing and it checks a box for this group, this group, this group, and this group. And how can I can't check all the boxes at once, but can I check more than one box? Because ain't nobody got time for focusing on your one thing, and then focusing on your one thing, and then focusing on, like, when am I supposed to do my job? Am I right? All right, I got one more project to throw at you, and this one was a super accident. I feel like all of these were kind of accidental, so maybe that's your question, how I come up with things. It's accidents. So we did a walking challenge this summer, and this started, again, with our Riverview Engagement Committee. This was supposed to be one building of people. And so I was thinking about, you know, now that we're back in the office, you know, what's different for me? What would add more value to my day? Because when I worked from home, I was walking on the treadmill like 2 hours a day because I didn't have to look like this. I did not wear these shoes. I could put my hair up and put my sports bra on and take my conference calls while I'm getting my steps in. And that's been a lot harder being in the office because I have two little babies. They need to go places. I got to wake up like 5:30 in the morning. Like I don't have time for this in my life anymore. And so walking, like just the idea of walking was what we brought to the table. And we're like, man, wouldn't it be cool if we could take our building population and symbolically walk around the U.S. to all of our plant locations? And I shared this idea, and somebody said, you know what, you should really talk to the plant communicators because I think they'd really like this in the plants. And so I did, and they did. And so it became all of our U.S. and Canada population. And then the goal became, can we get enough steps to walk around the globe hitting our Whirlpool locations along the way? And what happens if we're successful? So we collaborated. We did a lot of collaboration on this one. This one checks so many boxes. I was like laughing every time another box got checked. So we have that engagement component of just getting people up and walking. We had this whole great campaign this year from our HR team around Be Well, about be connected, be curious, be healthy, be prepared. And they've got some great content around all of these activations. But around the same time, they were launching Be Well breaks and really encouraging employees to step away from their computer, step away from technology, and take time to refocus. And so, okay, so we got Be Well breaks. We've got engagement. And then we're like, well, what's the challenge piece here? What happens if we get it? And we're like, Emily's doing communications for the United Way campaign this year, so let's raise some money for that. So I checked my own box on that one and made it that every lap around the globe was going to be a $50,000 donation to United Way, divided up based on participation among like who's submitting steps. So it was like all of us coming together for one goal, but still there was a little competition in there to see which locations were submitting the most steps. Additionally, you could put in a team name. So I was giving reports on like our global communications team. We all put in communications, so I could say communications has submitted this many steps. And so again, like not a lot of cost here and a lot of impact. So I have a picture there with our CEO. We actually kicked off the initiative with him leading a walk around our Lakeview campus, where we just happen to have this magnificent trail system, and we're launching a mountain bike trail within there as well. So it was like, okay, I guess I'll check that box too. We're showing off our facility. And even somebody who's been there 9 years, I had never explored out there before. We've got a pond. It's amazing. It's like beautiful. So again, just kind of recapping, the goal was to get employees up and moving, but we hit that employee engagement, the Be Well, United Way. Our CEO had just recently announced also that he was taking a role as the trustee chair for the United Way Worldwide Board, so that connection was really great. And, showing off our Lakeview campus walking and mountain bike trails. I thought the results on this were really great. We had over 1,000 employees participate and over 4,200 individual submissions of steps. So it was over 244 million steps, which was more than two laps around the globe. And this is not a straight path. We were, going to different locations. As I was posting weekly updates, I'd say, we just went through Pune, India, and this is what we do at that location. So we raised some awareness for our global footprint. Every eligible location participated, so we had a range of donations from $1,600 to $44,500, and it was just a great team-building activity. Like, you would see people in their sneaks walking around the building, and sharing the resources about the health benefits, just in general, very positive employee feedback, and we also got some local media coverage, so that was a nice driver for corporate reputation. So that was a lot of projects. So I'll pause again. Does this add value? Is this repeatable in your organization? Does it inspire any similar ideas? Yeah. Yeah, and this was probably, I think if we did this again, we would make it a global competition, in which case we're going to have to, walk to the moon and back, just to have the goal proportionate to the population. With this one, this year, because we were moving quickly and trying to make it happen, the more cooks you get in the kitchen, the longer it takes to get it done. So we do have regional communicators in our regions, and we do our best to try to share best practices and, replicate and learn from each other. We have some regular touch points on our calendar. This one just kind of came together fast. But yes, I think that's an opportunity for global collaboration there. That's a great question. I think you were first. Absolutely, yes. We have an employee advocacy program. We call them Winfluencers. We post a leaderboard every month of everybody who's sharing five or more posts on their social channels. So a lot of these had a component to it. So with May as Maytag Month, there was an external post about the promotion because we want your friends and family to know that, this month there are extra rebates or special components there. With the farmers market, not so much because that was really internally focused. But with Encanto, we wanted employees to share both the media spot as well as the Yumly content. So we're careful with how we gamify though, because once you share externally, it becomes a sweepstakes, and then legal gets involved. And ain't nobody want legal involved. Is legal here? No. I try to avoid them. But yes, if there is an opportunity to encourage sharing, we absolutely do that. We actually have a channel dedicated, our Winfluencer channel topic, where we put all of our good shareable content. So if you're somebody like, I'm looking for good news to share, you can just jump there and find some great stories. And again, with our portfolio of brands, we are very blessed with a lot of really great content in that space. We also have a lot of great CSR content and corporate content, so there's a little something for everyone. And I think that's really important with the advocacy program, is that it's authentic to the sharer. If you see me sharing about sports ball, it's lies. It's not me. I'm trying to signal for help. Because I just hope that everybody has a good time. But if you're seeing like the mom content and the recipes and all that good stuff, okay, that's probably me. But you need that to be authentic, or it feels like, okay, somebody told you to share this. So I really appreciate having that variety. And just because you mentioned that, I do want to give a shout out. I was like, the most recent great shareable story was our 8-year relationship with the Care Counts program, where we put washing machines into schools, because we found that a big reason why kids don't go to school is because they don't have clean clothes. So we collaborate with schools in need where they have volunteers who are willing to help kids on that journey. And so we're now 8 years on that program. So I should probably post that to LinkedIn, because you're all going to follow me, and then you'll know all about it. But here's my sexy matrix. Somebody was asking me about checking the boxes. So, I mean, this is not rocket science here, but, you know, list your, what's going on in your company? What are the competing messages that are competing for airtime? And then what are your ideas, and what boxes do they check? And that's a really quick way to look at how the different ideas flush out. Again, with your benefit effort grid. Okay, so that's all my content. So any questions about any of the, I think there was another hat. Last slide? Okay, sorry. All right, get your pictures. It's just a table. It is a really sexy table. All right. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So back to the walking challenge, you know, with this one, we encouraged employees to post a photo of themselves walking, like show off where's your walking trail, who's your walking buddy, where do you like to walk, and each week we then gave them swag for posting their picture. So yes, absolutely. There's often, so we had the articles of, you know, reminder to upload your steps, here's our status. We had some content around a walking playlist of, you know, this song will get your heart up to this many beats per minute, tips for increasing your daily step count. So there's some of that traditional, like, informational stuff, but then getting the users to post as well. Yes? We just say swag, because we all have a lot of random crap in our closets. So that's a nice way of using what we've already got. So that's my trick a lot of the times. And I find that it often doesn't really take much. I mean, you saw the Maytag socks. Got a closet full of Maytag socks. I'm actually kicking myself because, we came out with the Pets Pro pair, and I've got these Pets bandanas, and I didn't think to bring them. Like, I was really even thinking to myself, can I get somebody from Michigan to bring them to me? But, like, next time I'll know if I'm invited back. I will bring swag. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, I feel very lucky to work at Whirlpool Corporation. We were just announced one of Forbes' most admired companies. We have a lot that we do in the CSR space, a lot to feel proud of, a lot to drive our advocacy program. And that's just one example. We've had a 20-year relationship with Habitat for Humanity. Did you know that every single Habitat for Humanity house that's built in the United States has a Whirlpool refrigerator and range? For 20 years. And I think we've only really started talking about that in the last couple years. Because we're like a nice Midwestern company. We don't like to talk about ourselves. But, you know, you get a couple communicators that keep like, it's good stuff here, people. Let's talk about it. Yes. Did a Google form. It was honor system. Like, everybody's wearing a Fitbit or has a smartphone. We did order some cheap pedometers that we gave to our health coaches. So we said, you know, if you don't have something that's automatically counting your steps, you know, go to see your health coach and get one. But it was honor system. Upload your steps. I think that there was probably a technologically much better way to do this. But again, scrappy, making it easy. Yes, sir. I told you I was going to try to bring the razzle-dazzle. Did I bring the razzle-dazzle? Yay. Okay. We adopted the tool in 2016, so this is a long time ago. It's been a long road, and we paired it when we were refreshing our employee portal. So there's an experience with our First Step app in our portal and then outside of it. So it was part of kind of a broader, like, we're refreshing our technology. A couple years prior to that, we went full Google. So we were kind of in a period of change. Before we had Google, we had Lotus Notes. Anybody, like, I think that, like, went over some people's heads. That's so bad. So we had been on a journey of, you know, let's advance our technology. I think what has been, what we really got rid of and was a work stream along the same time when we adopted Whirlpool 360 was we had a work stream around streamlining org messages. In the before times, you would get, as a communicator, like, I need to do a building push of this thing. Like, constant direct emails. And that experience has absolutely changed. I think what's challenging is that there are a lot of people who are not going to naturally go to another source. They want it in their email. And I think we tackle that in a couple ways. We do a weekly, in case you missed it, kind of recap from Whirlpool 360. We also do some targeted, like, building newsletters that are from the concierge. So it doesn't, I mean, I'm the concierge. Like, I'm writing it, I'm executing it, but it's from Brett at the front desk. So it feels like it's not Corp Comms. It's like, hey, friend, I want you to know this week. But all of that's driving back to Whirlpool 360 as our source of, like, where the information lives. So trying to get those constant emails into, no, this can wait till the building newsletter. So yeah, absolutely.
Great. Thank you so much for your questions, Emily. Thank you so much for your wonderful Whirlpool story. I know everyone wants some socks now.
I know. I'm kicking myself. Please connect with me.
Yes, please find Emily. If you have any questions that you did not have time to ask, we have a little bit of a transition period before our 1 o'clock. But thank you so much for hanging out with us. We appreciate it. Please take your time to mingle and at 1 o'clock meet us for our giving activity on the fourth floor. Thank you. Thank you, Emily.
Thank you. Thank you.